second lesson in this little mini-series from Proverbs on wisdom for parents and or grandparents and their children and or grandchildren. Now, there are some here who say, well, how does that apply to me? I'm not a parent. I'm not a grandparent. Well, at least everyone in here is a child. Unless you were hatched someplace, you are all children. You are all, in some cases, grandchildren. And we just pray that as God opens these lessons to us, that we'll recognize the fact that our personal application and the application that will be to others as well is something that we should be considering. Sometimes it's someone else who needs the information and the exhortation that God's Word has to provide. I want you to know that the role of a parent today is not only difficult, it's impossible, apart from the help of the Lord. I had the privilege last night of performing a wedding. And as I talked to the young couple, Milam Farrow's daughter and her new husband, as I talked to the young couple about the possibility that one day God might bless them with children, pointed out the fact that they're going to need help, that nobody can do it alone. We need God's help, first of all, but we also need the help of one another. That is to say, we are a family as believers, and we are to reinforce one another's efforts in order to have children and grandchildren who will come to know Jesus in their lives. Today I want to talk to parents and grandparents. Last week was the introduction to this general subject, and today we're going to talk to parents and to grandparents and their part in this. If the time goes by, and I suspect it will go by quickly, we'll just barely get through this part of it. And next week we're going to talk on the other end, that is about the children themselves and about the grandchildren. But first, the role and the responsibilities of parents and grandparents according to the book of Proverbs. How many of you know the kids are natural imitators? I think it's true. In fact, I heard someone say the other day, this is a grown-up kid, a person who's grown up, saying, you know, I always used to resent my mother. Now I notice I am my mother. That is to say, we absorb and we imbibe the examples of our parents and of our grandparents unconsciously, subconsciously, and we begin to imitate, we begin to do the things that they do. I remember when I was an academic dean at a college in California, that the president of that college had a son who looked like him, and I remember one day as they were walking across the campus, I was watching the two of them together, the father, the president of this college, had a kind of a lope. You know, he was an old cowboy, you know, and when you ride horses, sometimes that does something to your gait. And his son was walking right along beside him, even though his son wasn't a cowboy. His son had picked up, well, maybe he was a cowboy in another sense, but his son had picked up his gait, his manner of walking and talking. And so it is the case that we will imitate those who are our parents and or who are our grandparents for good or for ill. There's no preventing it. So if you're going to have an example, if you're going to have kids rather imitate your example, if you're a teacher, for example, in a kid's class, or if you're an aunt, or if you're a cousin, or if you're a friend with somebody who has kids, whatever your role, whatever your contact may be, understand that you're always, always setting an example, and the kids have this habit of wanting to imitate. They do it whether they want to or not. They'll just do it. Yes, Tom?
Well, it takes a genius to be original, especially when you're young.
Now, there's a profound statement. We're going to percolate on that one. Now, I want you to turn with me to the book of Proverbs. This is a series of lessons that we're doing from the book, and the book of Proverbs has a lot to say about kids and their parents and the relationship between them. And it's interesting because Solomon, who is the author of the book of Proverbs, reflects on his own experience with his own father, David. And we're going to see in the passages before us some of Solomon's reflections on his own experience. And then we're going to see what God has to say about those same things. Turn with me to the book of Proverbs chapter 23 to start with. Proverbs chapter 23. How many of you have said, because you regret sometimes the things that you have done, do as I say, don't do as I do? Well, you may not have said that, but if you have internally and ruefully thought about it, you have said, oh, I hope they don't imitate everything I do. I hope they at least just pay attention to what I say. But I mean, if you're a wild person, your kids will tend to be wild persons. If you're very traditionally conservative, they'll tend to be traditionally conservative. On the other hand, kids are known to rebel. And so they'll take an example, and you might have a wild parent, and that kid might be very conservative. And you might have a very straight-laced parent, and the kid might be really far out. So it does not always follow that they'll be exactly the same in their behavior. Sometimes they rebel. And sometimes it's a good thing that they rebel. Because I remember seeing my dad's paycheck evaporate week by week because of gambling. And he'd find someplace to lose it all immediately after getting his check. Could be at a card game, all-night card game. Could be at the pool hall. Could have been at the racetrack. He found a place so he could let go of all of his money. I have hated gambling, rebelled against my dad's example ever since. But I want to tell you something. The year before I became a Christian, and I became a Christian at age 16, not a typical situation because we weren't brought up in the church. The year before I became a Christian, when I was a junior in high school, I managed to get an F in all of my subjects for the year. Now you say, how can you, Ed Pauly, manage to get an F in all of your subjects for the year? By cutting school. Guess where I went? To the racetrack. By myself. I went to the $2 window, made enough money to pay for the train fare to get to the track. I tell you, I hated gambling, I hated my dad's example, but at the lowest ebb, the year before I became a Christian, I found myself doing what he did. And I thought about that in subsequent years, and I realized that internally or attitudinally, I was rebelling against his example, but practically and experientially, I was imitating him. So I'm telling you, the kids are natural imitators. Well, Solomon is talking to his son, Rehoboam, when he says what we read here. Let's take a look at this passage. 23 of Proverbs, verse 26, where Solomon says to his son, my son, give me your heart. He's asking his son really not just to listen up with his ears, but he's asking him really to pay attention with all that he has, with his whole being. And so he says, son, give me your heart. Now look at the second line of this, and let your eyes observe my ways. Now that's an exhortation. In effect, he's saying, imitate me or watch me. Now, if you were the son of Solomon, there are some things about Solomon you would not want to have imitated. But there are other things, perhaps even in his earlier years, perhaps more especially in Solomon's earlier years, when he may have walked more closely to the Lord, where indeed his example may have been worthy of following. But there were many other cases where Solomon's example was not worthy of following. But nevertheless, he says to his son, he exhorts his son, give me your heart, listen up with your heart, and follow the pattern that I am trying to set. That's what he's saying to his son here in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 26. Now, I want you to turn with me to 1 Kings. 1 Kings chapter 2. This is David himself talking to Solomon. David, King David, talking to his son Solomon, the one who he just quoted, who said, observe my ways. Now here's David talking to his son. 1 Kings chapter 2 and verses 1 to 4. These are David's dying words to his son Solomon. And one of the reasons that I find it significant when we look at the books written by apostles or others at the end of their lives is that they have things to say because they're aware that their life is coming soon to an end that they want to be sure are going to be heard and understood and grabbed hold of. And David was no different. As he talked to his son Solomon, as he knew he was dying, he wanted to be sure that Solomon got it. So what is it that he's trying to tell his son Solomon, the new young king? Take a look at 1 Kings chapter 2. Starting in verse 1 to 4. Now the days of David drew near that he should die, and he charged Solomon his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be strong, therefore, and prove yourself a man. Solomon was a very young man at the time that he became king. And David, on one occasion, had to say to the leadership of Israel, you're going to have to help this kid. You're going to have to help this young man who is now the king, because he is a very young man. And so David is saying to his son Solomon, Solomon, you're going to have to grow up mighty fast. I'm about to go home to the Lord. You're going to have to become a man. You're going to have to behave like a man. You're going to have to set an example that a man of God should set. And so he says, prove yourself a man. Verse 3. And here it is. Keep the charge of the Lord your God. What's he exhorting Solomon to do on his deathbed? He tells Solomon, keep the charge of the Lord your God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn. Verse 4, that the Lord may fulfill his word, which he spoke concerning me, saying, if your sons take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart and with all their soul, he said, you shall not lack a man on the throne of Israel. Solomon, God promised you to be there for you at all times. But he's promised you, however, that the blessings will only come insofar as you're obedient. It's one thing for God to always be your father and to always be there for you and to be someone that you can always turn to, but it's another thing for God to pour out the blessings on your life. And the blessings are conditional. The love is unconditional. The same is true of our parents, isn't it, and grandparents. I mean, we love our kids unconditionally. We're going to love them no matter what they are and who they are. Sometimes it's said, you know, there are people on death row, and the only one to ever visit them is their mother or their parent. And someone has said about another person, now he has a face that only a mother could love. And those kinds of phrases, those kinds of behaviors and those kinds of phrases betoken the fact that parents' love is, generally speaking, unconditional. You don't have to perform to be loved by your parent. But as far as parents being approving of what you do, as far as parents being happy with what you do, as far as parents sharing with you blessing based on your behavior, that is contingent. That is related to what you do. Because the Bible says throughout the book of Proverbs that you know the kids can make their parents' hearts sad. Kids can make their parents' hearts grieve. They can cause their parents shame. There are all kinds of things that kids can do to their parents. But parents are going to love them anyway. That's the neat thing. Parents are going to love kids anyway. But why should it be so hard? We want you to understand that what David is saying to Solomon here, to his son, on his deathbed, is Solomon, God's made some promises. And the promises are to you and to your sons, and those promises are conditional. They're conditional upon you walking in my ways. Now, it's interesting that when you come to the book of Ecclesiastes, which is, of course, the teachings, formal teachings of Solomon. And at the very end, at the very last verse of the very last chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon summarizes the whole thing, and he uses the very words of his own father on his deathbed when he says at the very end of Ecclesiastes, I'll tell you the sum of the whole matter, the thing that is the insight into living. He says it's, fear God and keep his commandments. Fear God means you respect the Lord God and all that he has to say. But then you do more than just have an attitude of respect. You respond appropriately and behaviorally by doing what he says. That's the bottom line, he says at the end of Ecclesiastes. And David said to Solomon, the bottom line, Solomon, is if you want God to bless your kingship, if you want your sons to be able to continue on and to have a line that will continue on, as God has promised, it's conditional. It's conditional upon your following the example that I have set. When it is a godly example, it's conditional upon your heeding the teachings that I have given you from the Word of God. It's conditional upon you following God. You know, I think it's not required that parents and grandparents be perfect. Whew. I mean, we'd all be undone. We'd all be goners if it had to be the case that we were perfect. But Paul says in the New Testament, in fact, I'd like you to turn with me in light of what we just read here, because we know there are things about David's life that Solomon should not have imitated, and that he did imitate in some respects. But there are things about David's life that he should not have imitated. There are teachings, however, that David gave him. We're going to talk about teaching responsibilities in just a little bit, that Solomon is trying to emulate, that is providing for his son the kind of teaching that his father David provided to him. But I want you, on this matter of imitation, I want you to look with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll come right back here to the Old Testament in just a moment. But 1 Corinthians chapter 11, very important point about this matter of imitation. Kids are going to imitate anyway, right? We said that. Now, there's a principle here about imitation, especially when Solomon says, as we read here in the first verse from Proverbs, about following or observe my ways. Listen to what Paul says here about that matter of imitation. Chapter 11, 1 Corinthians, verse 1. Imitate me. Ah, that's not all that he says. Just as I also imitate Christ. Let me add, as an understood codicil here, and only as I imitate Christ. Follow my example as I live a godly life. Don't follow my example if I depart from the principles and practices advocated by the Word of God. Imitate me just as and only insofar as I imitate Christ. That's the kind of admonition, that's the kind of exhortation that David probably was giving to Solomon, because there are also regrets that David had. We read that if we go farther into the passage that we just began. There were regrets that David had about a variety of things, and we'll talk about some of those later. Now, God had a word to say to Solomon. Just as David had a word to say to Solomon, God himself spoke to Solomon. Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 9, same book that we just looked at, 1 Kings chapter 9. We heard David's words in 1 Kings 2. Now let's hear God's words in 1 Kings 9. 1 Kings chapter 9. This is after David had completed the building of the temple. This was as God was going to bless the work that Solomon had done, which God had given him to do in the building of the temple. And at the end of that work, God has some specific things to say to Solomon. Look with me now in verses 4 and 5, 1 Kings chapter 9. Hear God speak to Solomon. You heard David speak to his own son. Now hear God speak to Solomon. Verse 4, now if you, Solomon, walk before me as your father David walked, in integrity of heart and in uprightness, to do according to all that I have commanded you, and if you keep my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish the throne of your kingdom over Israel forever, as I promised David your father, saying, you shall not fail to have a man on the throne of Israel. But then he says the opposite would be the case if you or your sons do not keep my commandments, as he says in the next verse. But notice what he says in verse 4. He said, David was a man after my own heart, Solomon. There are things David did that were wrong. There are things that David did that he had to confess and that he had to be disciplined for. But David's heart was right. His heart attitude toward me was right. He loved me with all of his heart. David was a man who was passionate about God. You can't read the book of Psalms without knowing that David was passionate about his love for God. And even when he was sinning against God, he was passionate about the fact of the offense and how it would hurt God. And he said, it's oh so heavy. You read in Psalm 51 and you read in Psalm 32 how David's heart was oh so heavy when he knew that he had violated God's laws. But his intention was, his heart's desire was, to do the things that pleased God. He walked in integrity of heart, and he had a pure heart toward God. And that's why David could say at the end of his life, to follow my example. Because, and Paul, of course, is saying, insofar as I'm following God's example. And here, God is saying, now you follow David's example of heart and his integrity of heart. Because if you don't, there will be consequences to follow. We cannot flout the Word of God without there being consequences. There are always consequences to what we do, but we cannot ignore without there being consequences. So, imitation. That's the first thing a parent is to be, is a model. A model. We are a model whether we want to be or not. But you know, there's something special about having a mom or a dad that you can look up to, that you can respect, because they have set a good example. And even though kids may say, I don't like what my parents tell me to do, you know, they may behaviorally try to demonstrate they don't like what their parents are telling them to do, inside, the kid's saying, but I know they're right. I know that what they are trying to teach me is right. Even though I may outwardly rebel and outwardly seem not to agree, inwardly they're registering. Inwardly they're taking note. And eventually, the Bible says that that example of the model of the parents and of the grandparents will be felt. Yes.
There's a commercial right now on the radio that's very similar to exactly what you're saying. It has four or five children who complain and say, well, you were really rough. You never let us out. You would always ask us more questions. And then, after it'll do all this tirade, at the end it says, but you were right, and thank you.
Yes, I've heard that also on the radio.
It's on the radio.
It's a reluctant acknowledgement. Mom's always right, Dad's always right. No kid's going to say that unless they really are repentant. They're going to say that rather openly. But they're going to say that inside. Well, I want you to know that the second thing, besides a parent being a model or an example, which they will be anyway, and it should be a godly example in accordance with God's commandments, because kids will be proud of their parents when they set that kind of example, and they will take note of that, and it will govern their own behavior in the future. I guarantee it. Second thing is that parents are to be is to be a provider. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. This is a New Testament principle. Now, Solomon was the king of Israel and the richest man in the world. He did not have to talk about the fact that he promised to provide. But Paul has something interesting to say on this matter of a parent being a provider for their kids in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And he was talking really not about material provision that parents make, but spiritual provision. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. A parent is a provider. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 14, starting in verse 14. And Paul had a problem, many problems, with a very immature, kid-like church called Corinth. And he had to deal with them as his own kids because they were so immature in their faith. And one of the things that he had to deal with was the fact that he had to demonstrate to them the purity of his motives. One way he demonstrated the purity of his motives was by never taking any money from them. Because he knew the minute he accepted their support, he would also accept their criticism, that he was out for the money. How many people have been preachers and have been criticized because they're, quote, out for the money? And so Paul says, I'm not going to let you lay that one on me. And so he says, I will not accept any money from you all. In fact, I'll let the poor Macedonians support my ministry so I can minister to you wealthy Corinthians just so I can avoid that criticism. But what does he say about these Corinthians whom he really loved? Verse 14 of chapter 12 of 2 Corinthians. And now for the third time, I'm ready to come to you. And I will not be burdensome to you. I'm not going to charge you. I will not be burdensome to you. For I do not seek yours, meaning your money or your possessions. For I do not seek yours, but you. But you. A parent who loves a child. One of our kids, I hope this will not be repeated, but it probably will. One of our kids said when we got into a little discussion. I won't say which kid said it. So yeah, that way I'm off the hook partially. Remember, I'm going to pick your rest home. No threat. No intimidation. And I said, and I will stay healthy. Okay. But the responsibility of parents is to provide for their kids. We read this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, where he says in verse 14, notice the last part of verse 14, I seek you, that is what is of your benefit, for the children ought not to lay up for the parents, though there are some children who do put away something so their parents can be helped during their retirement because they're capable of doing so, but that's not the normal function. The children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. The parents for the children. Someone that I talked with in this class said to me that one of the things that he has taught his kids is that from the time that they first get married is to start to put something away in the bank monthly for the sake of their kids' education in the future. And that at the end, if they are able to, the kids is able to get their education in some other way, then it becomes an inheritance. And if they're not, it is a provision. The whole point, though, of that instruction from this parent was, in effect, to teach their kids their responsibility to lay away for their kids' future and for their education. That's the point that Paul is making here when he talks about his responsibility for them. Now, look at what he says in verse 15. All parents can identify with verse 15. And if you haven't identified with verse 15, then you're not a parent. Take a look at verse 15. For I will very gladly spend and be spent for your souls. I will very gladly spend and be spent for your souls. Nobody's going to get real if they really love their kids, they're not going to kind of say, well, this is for my retirement. This is because I want to go on a trip. This is for my new whatever. They're going to say, hey, you're my kid. You need this. It's yours. That's the normal, natural response. Now, parents can get a little, you know, the world can creep in and we can have attitudes that are not godly as parents and grandparents. But the normal parental attitude is to care for the kid and their needs so that what you have is for their benefit. And that's what Paul is saying. He said, hey, I'm not coming here to get enriched by you. I'm coming here to give you what I have to offer for your benefit. And so he says this here at the beginning of verse 15. Notice what a parent does. I said, if you haven't done this, you haven't been a parent. A parent sacrifices. A parent sacrifices. I will gladly spend and be spent. Yeah, it may cost me everything. It may cost me my health. It may cost me, you know, happiness. It may cost me... But parents sacrifice for their kids. And kids know. I remember that we grew up in those awful circumstances for the reasons that I was suggesting to you earlier, because we didn't have anything. My dad had to split down because of the creditors were after him. And so we were living on welfare. And I remember the sacrificial example that my mother set for us, that she would not eat when we would eat. And she sacrificed herself. Parents, mothers, dads, grandparents, do this. If they love their kids, they're going to sacrifice their own welfare in order to be sure that the kids are provided for. That's what a parent does, is to be a provider. And notice the second half of this verse, however. All parents and all kids should pay attention to the second half of this verse. Though the more abundantly I love you, the less I am loved. I don't get no appreciation for all of my sacrifice. The kid is saying, so what have you done for me lately? The important point is that we are all naturally selfish critters, which means that the kid will consume all that you expend upon him and want more, and as if you hadn't just done a whole lot already. So the issue for a parent is not whether the kid appreciates it, because oftentimes the kid won't at that time. But believe me, later on, they will reflect back and they'll think about the fact of what the mom did and what the dad did to sacrifice for them. And I remember to this day all the things that my mom did just to make it possible for us to survive. Never forget that. I would not be at all the person I am today. Even though I wasn't yet a Christian, I wouldn't be the person that I am today were it not for her sacrifice. But I tell you, I was as ornery a kid as any other kid, and I was as mouthy sometimes as any other kid. And I remember one time my mom breaking a broomstick over my back. It's a good thing that was breakable. I deserved it. Yeah, I just done something mean to my widow brother. Mean. And so I was a normal kid. A normal, fallen, depraved, sinful kid. And I didn't appreciate all that my mother did immediately. Though later, in later years, I've always harked back and thought about the sacrifices that I've made. And some of you who have sacrificed so much for your children, please know, they may not express that immediately. They may still be in their selfish phase of consuming all that you do for them. But understand that it's registering, and it will be remembered. Because it will have an impact in years to come, all that you're doing now. So a parent is to be a provider as well as a model. Turn to Proverbs chapter 22 for the third major responsibility besides being a model and being a provider. Proverbs chapter 22. We looked at this at the end of our class last time. Proverbs 22 and verse 6. Remember this verse we looked at the very end of last class? Hear it. Train up a child in the way he should go, or she should go, and when he or she is old, he will not depart from it. This is what I call God's promissory note. You don't always collect on those notes, or do not always collect on your inheritance immediately. Children do not always respond immediately. And sometimes it's heartbreaking for a parent when it seems as if the child is not responding. And it may be years, and they may be adults, and they may have kids of their own, and they seem not to be responding. But the promissory note of God is, at some point, God will get through to them. Whether you live to see it or not, God will get through to them. And at some point, even no matter how old they may be, they will come back to what has been imbued in them, and they will return to God. I believe that with all of my heart. Parents are not wasting their time in investing in their children spiritually or materially, even though the kids seem to be so ungrateful initially. lessons are being learned silently, are being registered without a word being said. And God will be faithful to his promissory note, however long it takes. Now, I want you to hear Solomon's testimony concerning David. This is one of my favorite parts of this whole lesson. I want you to hear Solomon's testimony concerning his father David. Turn with me. It's always good when you have something nice to say about your dad and mom. Turn with Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4 for Solomon's testimony concerning David. Proverbs chapter 4. See, this is grown-ups.